देवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 25, Text 10. This verse is also a kind of a prose. It's not very easy to chant in a Vedic mantra tune, but still it's somewhat recitable. Murtim na puru kripaya bhavar sattvam Samshuddham sad asad idam vibhati tatra Yallilamrika patit adade navatyam Adatum svajjana manam syudara viryah murtim nah puru kripaya bhavar sattvam samshuddham sat asat idam vibhati tatra Lamrigapati Adade Navatyam Adatum Svajana Manam Sudara Viryah Murtim Na Puru Kripaya Bhavar Sattvam Samshuddham sat asat idam vibhati tatra Yallilam rigapatir adade navatyam Adatum svajana manam syudara viryah sat asat idam vibhati tatra yallilam mrigapati radade navatyam adatum svajana manam sudara viryah ಸತ್ತಿದಂ ವಿಭಾತಿ ತತ್ವ ಯಲ್ಲೀಲಾ ಮೃಗಪತಿರಾದದೇ ನವತ್ಯಾಂ ಆದಾತುಂ ಸ್ವಜನ ಮನಾಂ ಸುತಾರ ವೀರ್ಯ
ಲಿರೀಸ್
different forms of the supreme personality of Godhead. Naha unto us puru kripaya, because of great mercy, babhara exhibited, satvam existence, samshuddham completely transcendental, sat asat idam, this material manifestation of cause and effect, vibhati shines, tatra in whom, yat leelam, the pastimes of whom, mrigapatihi, the master of all living entities, who is exactly like a lion, the master of all other animals, adade taught, anavadyam without material contamination, adatum to conquer, svajana manamsi, the minds of his devotees, udaravīryaha, who is most liberal and powerful. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Translation: this manifestation of subtle and gross matter exists within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of causeless mercy towards His devotees, He exhibits various forms which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord is most liberal and He possesses all mystic power. To conquer the minds of His devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, He appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes. Purport: Srila Jiva Goswami has translated this verse as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. It is by His will that the gross and subtle ingredients interact. He appears in various incarnations just to please the hearts of His pure devotees. Unquote. For example, the Supreme Lord appeared in the transcendental incarnation of Lord Varaha, the boar, just to please His devotees by lifting the planet Earth from the Garbhodak ocean. ಉಮಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿದಂದಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರ್ಉನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಃ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश कारणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरद्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषि भानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछ कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं पुंगुं लंघयति गिरिं यत्पातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So we are discussing from Canto 5, Chapter 25, entitled The Glories of Lord Ananta, Text 10. We see here practically in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving another translation quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami. So his purport is basically a translation of Jiva Goswami, that how everything is happening in this world by the will of the Lord, for example the gross and subtle ingredients interaction, and how the Lord appears in various incarnations just to please the hearts of his pure devotees. And after quoting that translation, Srila Prabhupada adds to or gives a purport to that translation of Jiva Goswami, saying that, for example, the Supreme Lord appeared in the transcendental incarnation of Lord Varaha, the bull, just to please his devotees by lifting the planet Earth from the Garbhodak ocean. And Srila Prabhupada feels that's enough a purport to give here on this verse of Srila Jiva Goswami's or on giving a commentary on Jiva Goswami's translation. Because this principle is the sum and substance of Vaishnava philosophy. How the Lord's only business is to give pleasure to his devotees. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Radha, Shyam Sundar Lalita Vishakha Devi, Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. This is the only business of the Lord, to give pleasure to his devotees. And that's the only thing Srila Prabhupada highlights in his very brief commentary. And very strangely and mystically, amongst so many incarnations that Lord Krishna took, Srila Prabhupada is quoting the example of Varahadeva. I was very intrigued by this, how Srila Prabhupada is taking this one example of Varahadeva amongst so many incarnations that the Lord took, and all incarnations. Not just all incarnations, but any activity that the Lord does within an incarnation is simply to give pleasure to his devotees. So as I was going through the section of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the description of Varahadeva's pastime appears, It's a very short description, just one chapter. And the discussion goes like this, that Swayambhu Manu, or it's a discussion going between Maitreya and Vidura. And Vidura is very eager to know about what did Swayambhu Manu do after he got married to his loving wife. And Maitreya Rishi was very happy with that question. And of course the question also included that Vidura was very eager to know about the qualities, the character and the pastimes of the Lord exhibited through his devotees. And then Maitreya Rishi, after hearing that question, became very pleased. And he explained how Swayambhu Manu, after getting married, approached Lord Brahma and asked Lord Brahma, "So, now that I have got married under your order, what is the next order for me? What do you expect of me now having got married?" And Brahmaji explained, "How I want you, I am very happy with you for the submission that you have shown to me as a son. And thus now I want you to fulfill the responsibility of creating the praja. And please take care of every praja that you create. Every person should be taken care of, should feel protected." Having said that, Swayambhu Manu asked Brahmaji, "So be it. But I want to know where is my place of residence, and where should those living entities or those that praja that I create, where should they stay? Because the planet Earth is sunk down under the in the Garbhodak ocean." Hearing that, Brahmaji started thinking for a long time. So what to do? What to do? Where should Swayambhu Manu and his praja stay? Because the planet Earth is under the ocean. And he was thinking and thinking and thinking. And he couldn't himself come to any substantial conclusion. So he thought, maybe it looks like it's time to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very sweet purport that sometimes devotees, even of the extent of Brahmaji, gets bewildered in performing their responsibilities or duties, and they're confused as to how to fulfill one's responsibility, and eventually they just fall to the Supreme Lord or take shelter of the Supreme Lord. This is Lord's sweet ways in which he makes his devotees feel more and more dependence upon him. And as Lord Brahma was thinking about, "Now I don't know what to do, let me just take shelter of the Supreme Lord," right at that moment it is described that from the nostrils of Lord Brahma came this less than a thumb size boar or a pig. Very small size pig appeared, and within moments that pig went up into the sky and appeared up and took the form as big as an elephant. Again Brahmaji was further bewildered. Already he was bewildered, and now he's seeing what's happening. This, first of all, from my nostrils came out this boar. This itself is bewildering. And I thought it's just some piece, like how from what comes out from our nostrils. It's not something very something to rejoice about or feel happy about. But that little piece which was appearing like having the shape of a boar suddenly grew so big. At the same time, it was looking quite beautiful also. So Brahmaji was bewildered, something coming out of my nostrils and being so beautiful and growing so huge. What's happening? Who are you? Are you the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And right at that time, to give pleasure to Lord Brahma, to destroy his confusion, What did Lord Varaha do? Because he had the body of Varahadev, not a human body, he loudly, tumultuously roared. It is said that roaring sound was not just heard by Brahmaji, was heard within the three planetary systems, Janalok, Maharlok and Satyalok, which were the three existing planetary systems, and all others were destroyed. All of them could hear the sound. Just imagine, if logically if we speak, the sound that was heard by in the three planetary systems, it must have surely deafened Lord Brahma's ears. But it was not so. Lord Brahma felt as if his nashto moha smritir labdha. Now my moha is gone. I was thinking of taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord has himself appeared. Srila Prabhupada explains that although Lord Varaha had a huge, fearful form, like a mountain, but it was giving great pleasure to Lord Brahma and the other sages who were assembled there, in front of whom the Lord appeared. And that roar was a confirmation to all the assembled devotees, including Lord Brahma, that I am none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the devotees were so happy, because that's the whole business of the Lord, as we were discussing. He is just there to give pleasure to his devotees. And the devotees were so happy, they immediately started chanting Vedic mantras and hymns in glorification of the Lord. Because the devotees' only purpose is also to give pleasure to the Lord. Thinking which, the devotees started offering various beautiful hymns and prayers. Hearing which, the Lord became even further pleased. And then being pleased and to acknowledge to their prayers, again he loudly roared. Hearing that roar, the devotees were even further pleased, because they could sense or they could understand that this roar is in confirmation with the fact that our prayers are very pleasing to him. Just see, such sweet exchanges. It's just a roaring taking place, externally seen. But such a sweet exchange the devotees are having with the Lord, and the Lord is having with the devotees. And then Lord went further up in the sky to accomplish the mission for which he had come, to give further pleasure to his devotees, or to solve their actual problem for which if he just rode and went away and the incarnation is finished, devotees will be still happy that the Lord appeared, he roared and he gave us so much pleasure. But the problem remains where it was. So immediately Lord Varahadev went further up in the sky, and he went down at high speed with his tusks pointing towards the ocean. And such a beautiful description given by Maitra Rishi to Vidura, that as soon as the Lord entered into the ocean, it appeared as if the ocean is cut into half and two beautiful hands of the ocean have just appeared, causing another tumultuous sound. And the two hands were as if were coming out of the ocean, as if crying and begging the Lord, please save us, don't cut us, don't destroy us, spare us. In a very begging way, this is how Maitra Rishi is feeling, that the ocean must be feeling, having been touched by the transcendental form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just see how Maitra Rishi is also so happy while describing this pastime to Vidura, that how the ocean must be feeling being touched by the Supreme Lord. And the Lord went right to the bottom of the ocean. Prabhupada explains the limitless ocean's limit was found by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada also in his purports is further enhancing, expressing his joy of hearing this pastime spoken by Maitra Rishi. The Lord went down, he took the earth on his tusks, and within few moments he just came up, beautifully appearing like a it is described by Maitreya Rishi that the earth was looking like a small little black spot on the beautiful moon-like form of the Supreme Lord, because it was Shvetvaraha. Prabhupada explains then the purport. It was beautiful white form of Varahadev, and this Mother Earth on his tusks appeared like a little black spot on the beautiful full moon of the Supreme Lord. And the whole scene gave such great pleasure that the Lord Brahma and other sages, they further started glorifying the Supreme Lord out of great pleasure, that such a difficult task that we were thinking of how to accomplish, just see how easily the Lord has accomplished. And then Lord placed Mother Earth on the top of the ocean, the waters of the ocean, and let it float. And Prabhupada explains then the purport that the same ocean within which the earth had drowned, now by the Lord's mystic potency, the Lord can either make the planet earth float in the air or sometimes float on the water. For him, he can do anything. But these frog-like scientists, they will only get bewildered when they hear some descriptions. So Prabhupada was experiencing great joy and is calling the scientists like frog-like scientists. They will be bewildered by such description, by such an act done by the Lord, transcendental act, where he is making the whole planet earth float by his mystic powers, simply by his desire and will. So all that the Lord did in this pastime, apparently it was a mission to be accomplished, that Mother Earth had to be rescued from the ocean. But the way, Lord could have done it any other way. He didn't even need it to appear. He could have just, by his desire, suddenly the Mother Earth was started coming out and would have been reinstated from where it fell down. And the devotees would have seen suddenly Mother Earth coming up, and they would be happy by, "Oh Lord, thank you so much for doing this mystical arrangement." But just see, he took this excuse to remove the bewilderment of his devotees by personally appearing in this most beautiful form. And after that, there's a series of descriptions done by the sages, including Lord Brahma, of each beautiful feature of Lord Varahadev. How beautiful are his hair, how beautiful are his hands, how beautiful are his beautiful lotus-like eyes and his beautiful tusks. One by one, they just inundate those pages of Bhagavatam by the joy that they are experiencing, having seen that beautiful form of the Lord, and the Lord having removed their big problem, which they were not knowing otherwise how to accomplish. So this is the Lord's actual mission. It was not just to rescue the planet Earth, which he could have done in any other way. But behind any other pastime or any activity done by the Lord within any pastime or any incarnation is simply to somehow or the other please the devotees. But then we also see certain pastimes, like how did, if you just think of Ramayana and think of the life of Mother Sita, her whole life in the epic of Ramayana was filled with suffering. After getting married to Lord Ram, all she got was suffering from him. She has finally married the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being the consort, eternal consort of the Lord. But in that particular pastime, first of all, she was kidnapped by Ravana. Of course, we know that it was not the actual Sita, it was the Maya Sita, but still within that pastime, she was bereft of the association of Lord Ram. She was being harassed by the cruel, lustful statements to be heard from Ravana and from his associates for such a long time. And eventually, when Lord Ram did come to save Mother Sita, to rescue her, hardly she stayed with him, and she was banished for good. Where is Lord Ram giving pleasure to his devotees now? Rather, he is making life of his devotees miserable. So then, is the Lord defeating the very purpose of his full existence, of his pastimes? We just discussed the Lord's only business is to give pleasure to his devotees. And here we see, obviously, the example of Pandavas. Being so righteous, being so devoted, completely malleable to the will of the Lord, they had to go through so much suffering. Right from their childhood, they were fatherless. As they grew in an atmosphere where people around them are filled with envy towards them. And eventually, the kingdom was taken away and they were thrown into the forest. And finally, when they even fought and got back the kingdom, they hardly ruled, and Lord said, come on, finish your pastime here. To the extent that Bhishma said, aho kashtam, aho anyayam, yad yuyam dharmanandana. How can your life be so much filled with miseries? It is not just ordinary miseries, it is anyaya to all of you being so righteous. Dharmanandana. So how? We see so many examples of devotees, including Ashila Prabhupada. So much suffering he had to go through, so much struggle just to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya. Why couldn't Krishna make his life so peaceful that he could have just flown to the west and there would be some sincere devotees waiting for him, could have assisted him in his preaching service, and things could have gone smoothly. The list of such devotees is endless, where they are going through so much misery after having taken to spiritual life. Many of us may be examples also. We can correlate with our own lives. So many difficulties, so many problems. Even sometimes some devotees say problems have apparently increased after having taken to bhakti. And to some extent, sometimes it is externally true. So then where is the Lord's basic mission? He has come here simply to give pleasure to his devotees. And what is happening? Is everything out of control of the Lord? Why are devotees not happy then? This is very beautiful to think about. Why does the Lord do such a thing? Of course, as we hear, the Lord puts his dear, loving, intimate associates and devotees through apparent miserable situations to further enhance their glories. He gives such miseries to them or to people, devotees who are still at the sadhaka plane, to purify their hearts, to get them closer to his heart. But it's also described, one devotee explained, and he gave his own example, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, he was explaining that how once when in our movement Srila Prabhupada became sick, and he had really became sick that time, and devotees were fearful that they may lose his association. At that time Srila Prabhupada sent a letter to the whole movement that I want all of you to come together and chant the holy names. And around the world, whatever number of centers were there at that time, devotees came in the temple hall. They were just praying, begging the Supreme Lord while they were chanting the holy names to keep their Srila Prabhupada with them. Not let Srila Prabhupada leave our association, or not let us be bereft of his association. And as the devotees were coming together intensely, begging, praying, in that mood chanting the holy names, gradually it was seen that Srila Prabhupada's health improved. But then the devotees felt it was not Srila Prabhupada's health that improved, it was our health that improved, because we had such envious feelings against each other, such negative feelings against each other. All those feelings disappeared because now we were together for a common cause, to pray for Srila Prabhupada's health. And eventually what happened that all these devotees who had so many heart burnings in their heart going on, it just vanished, and their love for Srila Prabhupada emerged out of that whole episode of Srila Prabhupada becoming sick and then becoming well. So sometimes Krishna puts his pure devotees through such apparent miseries to give further pleasure to the devotee by making his followers come together, cooperate, and enhance their love for him. Lord Krishna must have understood the anxiety in the heart of Srila Prabhupada that my movement is growing big, devotees are not having good relationship with each other. Krishna, what to do? Just like Lord Brahma is here thinking, Krishna, what to do? The Mother Earth has gone down within the ocean, what to do? Krishna makes such an arrangement immediately. And within his arrangement was some apparent difficulty or apparent misery on the physical plane given to a pure devotee. But see the result. The devotees, their love for each other enhanced, and mainly their love for Srila Prabhupada enhanced. And thus it must have pleased Srila Prabhupada so much that now my disciples are again together. Again, their love for me has further enhanced, which is what must have given so much pleasure to the heart of Srila Prabhupada. So actually this apparent sickness was to enhance the joy and the happiness of Srila Prabhupada. So it may appear that in the process of enhancing the joy there was some misery, but that misery was practically irrelevant as compared to the joy experienced by the devotees in that apparent miserable situation. So even when the devotees are going through some kind of a miserable situation, to the degree their realizations allow, they are actually coming closer to the Lord, and actually the souls are becoming more and more joyful. There may be apparent physical or mental or emotional difficulty coming externally to the devotee. But we should not forget this principle that the Lord's only business is to give pleasure to his devotees. But in the course of giving pleasure, there may be some suffering. The path to pleasure may be filled with sufferings for some time. But it's actually meant to give ultimate pleasure to the devotees. He has no other purpose. And same is the case with the devotees of the Lord. Devotees' only existence, the purpose to breathe, to live, to act, is to enhance the pleasure of the Lord, even if it involves unlimited sufferings. Just like one simple example, when Rup Sanatan Goswamis, they were blackmailed by Nawab Hussain Shah that if you don't surrender me, I will kill the devotees. That time Nawab Hussain Shah could understand that the only way I can run my manage my kingdom is if I get these two people, Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, whom he named them. So he desperately wanted them, and they were absolutely against serving the Nawab. But the condition that the Nawab put was that if you don't serve me, I'll kill these Vaishnavas. Just hearing these words gave such pain to Rup and Sanatan Goswami. The thought of Vaishnavas being persecuted made his heart bleed. And they couldn't think of the miseries that they would have to go through in serving the Nawab. It was just irrelevant at that time, thinking of the miseries the devotees would have had to go through if they were persecuted by the Nawab. And Rup Sanatan did accept that the administrative post that they were given by the Nawab. Now it is mentioned, not by Srila Prabhupada but by many other acharyas, that if Rup Sanatan Goswami wanted, they were powerful Vaishnavas, they could have preached to the Nawab, made him a devotee, and then the government could have been devotional government. And their occupational duty at that time as the administrators would have been in a very comfortable situation. Nawab would be devotee and they would be propagating Krishna consciousness as in their administrative posts. But they didn't preach to the Nawab. They were qualified, they were capable. Because as pure devotees, they could understand that the Lord's plan is different. Later on we know how Lord Chaitanya himself transformed the heart of the Nawab through his another pastime, the breaking of the Mridanga pastime. But the point is here, Rupa Sanatan, understanding if Lord is pleased by Nawab not becoming a devotee through us, let us go through the suffering of being under such a cruel taskmaster and continue doing my prescribed duty of ruling, of doing the administration, if this is what gives pleasure to the Lord. He was not concerned with making his life comfortable, or they were not concerned with making their life comfortable. How easy it was for them to preach to the Nawab and live in a comfortable devotional environment. But they chose to live in a non-devotional environment, understanding that this was the plan of the Lord. Let us go through it. If this is what gives pleasure to the Lord, I don't care for the miseries that we have to go through in this ruling. And externally it was out of concern for the Vaishnavas. And later on when Lord Chaitanya, they met the Rupa Sanatana, they met Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya eventually told Rupa Sanatana Goswami to leave the kingdom, leave their occupational duty. They immediately left. They didn't think, oh, what if now the Nawab will kill these Vaishnavas? Now the Lord wants me to leave. Now our leaving, even if the Vaishnavas are persecuted or whatever may happen to them, it appeared like a cruel act on the part of Rupa Sanatana to leave the occupational posts. But if this was the Lord's plan, they had faith that the Lord desires us to leave like this. The Lord himself will give protection to his devotees. He will not let Nawab persecute them. And that's what happened. Apparently Nawab forgot that he had put that condition. And he didn't persecute the Vaishnavas. But Rupa Sanatana acted simply for the pleasure of the Lord. They didn't consider there, oh, what will happen to the Vaishnavas if we leave? Lord, why are you telling us to leave like this? First assure us that the Vaishnavas will be safe. The Lord has more concern for the Vaishnavas than you. He knows what is to be done for whom. They just acted as per the will of the Lord. That is the devotee. He is not concerned. Just like the Lord, he is ready to do anything to give pleasure to his devotees. The devotees are just the same. They don't care for their happiness in distress. And apparently they appear sometimes cruel. Like in this case, he left the kingdom not thinking of what will happen to the Vaishnavas, because that's the Lord's will. So the devotees have that faith that if I please the Lord, everyone will be happy. Yasmin tushte jagat tushtam. They don't go for watering each leaf. They go for watering the roots. So this is the beautiful, sweet relationship that exists between the Lord and his devotees. It's extremely sweet. The more we contemplate about it, the more we read and hear about such exchanges, the more in our heart desire comes, even I want to have such an exchange with the Lord and his devotees. That's the whole purpose. Why Lord exhibits such pastimes of sweet exchanges between himself and his devotees, or devotees and his devotees, is to attract our heart, because heart of a soul is attracted to relationships. Relationships have the potency to attract the heart. And when one sees sweetness in relationship, one's heart gets extremely attracted. And one feels that even I want to have such sweet relationships. I want to have such a secure relationship with the Lord where I am ready to simply act for the pleasure of the Lord. It's not easy right now in our conditioned stage. In our conditioned stage, we are thinking of what will give me pleasure. If serving the Lord will give me pleasure, let me serve him. If chanting his names will make me happy, let me chant his names. Somehow, the deep-rooted desire within our heart is to want to be happy. If Krishna consciousness makes me happy, I'll take to Krishna consciousness. Tomorrow, if Krishna consciousness is making my life miserable, I don't care for Krishna consciousness. So ultimately, in a conditioned state, we are just looking for pleasure, which can't be removed from the soul, because that's the nature of soul, to be happy. Satchit Ananda. Soul needs to be happy. But the problem is when the soul looks for happiness. That's what Prahlad Maharaj says. Soul is supposed to be happy, but the happiness of the soul is not within looking for happiness. Happiness of the soul is in serving Krishna, serving Krishna's devotees. In giving happiness to Krishna and his devotees lies happiness for the soul. So our every relationship within devotee community, to the degree it is based on what can I get from this relationship, one will not feel secure and happy. And to the degree one interacts with Vaishnavas, looking for an opportunity to serve. Serve in a way that Krishna will be pleased, not serve my way. Even if we aspire in this way, that let me serve the devotees in a way that Krishna will be happy. Seeing that beautiful desire within our heart, Krishna will give us that sense of security. He will give us within our heart the sense of joy with which we will be actually able to serve. If our hearts are not happy, how can we serve and please others? To give pleasure to others, we have to be happy. So we have to experience some joy in our heart to be actually able to serve. And where does the joy come from? From that mood to serve. From that aspiration to serve the devotees for giving pleasure to Krishna. Not that I want to serve the devotees or devotees will think I am a very nice devotee. To make them understand how nice a devotee I am, I'll serve all of them. How humble a devotee I am, I'll serve all of them. Then the purpose will be defeated. So this is the beauty in the principle of Krishna consciousness. There's so much of joy, but that joy is stored within that mood to serve in a way that Krishna would be pleased. If that factor is forgotten, then our service also becomes materially contaminated or selfishly contaminated. This is the basic underlying theme within the whole process of Krishna consciousness. Devotee Krishna is eager, this we should never forget. Krishna's only business is to give happiness to each one of us. He is there to give us happiness and for nothing else. But when can we experience that happiness? Is when we also are looking for this goal and nothing else. Ananyas chintayantamam is my only desire is to give pleasure to Krishna. Whether in the course of giving pleasure to Krishna, I become unhappy, some difficulties come in my life, I don't care. But if we do care for those difficulties, then our attitude to please Krishna will get diluted and our desire to remove those difficulties become prominent, then more problems will come. So somehow or other, the purpose of coming together and hearing and studying and chanting is to help us understand this one principle. First of all, the hope-giving principle, that the Lord's only business is to give pleasure to his devotees. And in the course of giving that pleasure, there may be some difficulties, but eventually, Param Vijayate, Shri Krishna Sankirtana, eventually the heart will be joyful. Let me just go on with trying to please Krishna. The process of trying to please Krishna may involve, mostly it involves some thorns because of our own past karma and our aparadhas in our life. But eventually, the heart will become happy if we continue with it. So this is the theme behind the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That's why Srila Prabhupada just made this one statement in his purport. He didn't bother to explain any further because it's such a complete statement. The Lord's only, as Prabhupada says here, the transcendental incarnation of the Lord was just to please his devotees by lifting the planet Earth from the Garbhagha portion. Hare Krishna. Thank you so very much. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.